The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you don't think God is loving, at least not in the way he's portrayed in the Bible. And maybe you don't even read the Bible that much, but he's portrayed by Christians who quote the Bible to you. And yeah, you hear about the love of Christ. But when you go to church and talk to Christians, they mention doctrines like heaven and hell. And the moment hell comes up, you realize immediately God cannot possibly be loving. In fact, he's cruel. He's a cruel, vindictive God. Well, my friend, if that's the way you feel, you are, as a matter of fact, in complete agreement with a man who wrote me a comment on my recent column for Communities Digital News. Now, just to identify that in a familiar way for you, that column had also been a Facebook post and a monologue on this radio show that I did over the air 2 weeks ago. And you may recall we were actually talking about an entirely different subject related to Christianity, certainly, but a totally different topic. You will recall this was an in-house discussion amongst Christians regarding the shelter-in-place order that has been closing our churches down. What should we do about it? Should we protest? Should we not protest? Should we go along? And I went out of my way in both the monologue and the article version to say that anybody's welcome to listen or read. But I did identify my audience. I was primarily talking to Christians. But as is so often the case, the moment you so much as mention God or the Bible for any reason, some skeptic loves to jump in and tell us all how stupid we are. And so we have this comment from Fred, or Rebel Fred, as he chooses to nickname himself. Now, Fred put up two posts in a row in the comment section of the column. First, a picture of a cute little girl holding a Bible. But then you're supposed to read the caption in the picture. Caption says, God loves you so much that he created hell just in case you don't love him back. That was to get our attention. His second post was more detailed, an explanation for the supposedly clever, piercing picture and caption, obviously intended to just knock my socks off. So Fred says, I'm a born-again atheist. I just escaped the God delusion scam 25 years ago. The best thing I ever did for myself. Religion is based on the idea of sin. All people are born sinners, impure souls, and if they don't purify themselves, they will soon be condemned to hell by God, where they will have to experience eternal suffering in order to avoid being thrown into hell. Religion demands that people prove to God that they are worthy of heaven. How? By following the dogma of religion. Naturally, when they are put in such a situation, they find themselves in a continuous state of fear. They are always afraid of whether their actions are right according to religion or not. When you believe that you are being constantly watched by an all-seeing eye of God, you have to act in certain ways to please God. The fear of hell is always in your mind, filling you with worry and anxiety, and this does not allow you to live spontaneously. As a result, religiously indoctrinated people become neurotic, and in some cases, even psychotic. Okay, Fred, well, let me respond. Putting aside the fact that the opening of that article once again made it very clear that I was talking about a debate amongst Christians, not a debate between Christians and atheists. It's a debate I like to have, but that's not what the purpose of that article is. Putting all that aside, okay, Fred, as it happens, I too was once an atheist. I became a Christian during my second year of college. I understand atheists quite well, not only because of my own experience, but many years of formal and informal debates with atheists. I also respect many atheists. That is, I respect the ones who at least make sure they understand an opposing point of view before challenging it. In your case, with all due respect, your summary of what Christians believe shows that you have no idea what you are talking about. Now, you may have grown up in the church. It looks like you did. Doesn't matter. The teachings of Jesus are found in the Bible. Some churches adhere to the authority of the Bible. Others merely make that claim and instead follow their own traditions. But whatever your background, the Bible is something you clearly have not studied. It matters not to me what you believe or don't believe. It's a free country. You can believe whatever you want. But intellectual integrity mandates that we at least understand a position before trying to tear it down. If you are coming from an informed understanding of my position and you still choose not to accept it, that would be fine. Unfortunately, this is not the case. Nowhere in the teachings of the gospel, as read in context, does God demand that we be worthy of heaven. As a matter of fact, exactly the opposite is taught, that God forgives people and they do not have to be worthy. You could not possibly have distorted the teaching more than you did. On another note, when you claim God is a delusion, you say that as if you know it for an established fact, but you do not know. You cannot prove that God does not exist, and you know you can't. When making such a claim, you display the kind of blind faith in your own dogma that you would accuse Christians of having. I do realize that many atheists at this point listening are going to jump in and say, whoa, what do you mean we can't prove it? No, nobody can prove that, and nobody can prove a negative. You can't prove that something doesn't exist. The burden of proof is on you to prove God does exist. Yeah, I get it, and I mentioned that. I went out of my way to mention that just as an example of the fact that I do understand atheism. And I know what they're thinking right now. And I base my challenge of their worldview on my familiarity with their beliefs, not a distortion of their beliefs. I don't agree with their beliefs, but I understand them. Now, Fred, if you intended to refer only to those of us who claim to have had an encounter with God as the ones being delusional, well, you have absolutely no way of knowing this either. Hypothetically, when one examines any such claim, they should not automatically accept it. Neither should they dismiss it out of hand. They should instead explore with an open mind. Depending on the individual under the spotlight, a claimed experience may or may not be delusional. And a real God may or may not be making himself known. You should be open to both possibilities. Moving on, after displaying your misunderstanding, you resort to ad hominem attacks. You said, and I quote, "As a result, religiously indoctrinated people become neurotic and in some cases even psychotic." Really? Religiously indoctrinated people are neurotic? Now, you didn't say some. Did you mean all? If all, have you met all religious people? If some, well, there are some neurotic people found under the banner of every philosophy, even humanist, even atheist. And so your point was a wash. You actually made a non-point. My friend, you may think you have some kind of intellectual high ground, but your comment was embedded with nothing but emotion, particularly a fixation upon hell. And I can understand having an emotional fear of hell, but that is what's driving you, not your academic arguments. You did not articulate or verify one single fact. Neither did you refute my beliefs. And finally, once again, most importantly, you do not even understand my beliefs. If you think otherwise, and I'm sure you do, let's put it to the test. Let's give you a chance to show how academically certain you are and how neurotic Christians are. You are welcome to contact me and arrange an appointment for a debate over this matter that we will schedule on the air through this radio show, where many can benefit from your well thought out wisdom. That is all I will say for now, because in order to answer every false assertion you made, It would take a whole book's worth of writing. And frankly, I already wrote that book. It's called I'd Like to Believe in Jesus. You are welcome to a complimentary copy. I won't even charge you if you would actually read it for an open mind. I see no evidence of an open mind, but the offer for the book and offer for a friendly debate on my radio show is sincere. To arrange for either, you can reach me through my website, bobsiegel.net. Meanwhile, I will pray for you. Even though you obviously see no need for prayer, I will pray that you come to honestly understand the love of God, because he loves you specifically. And I will pray that you come to a better understanding of what God's statements about heaven and hell were intended to convey. Now, that's my answer to Rebel Fred. I'm not assuming he's listening right now. He might be, but I wrote all that in the comment section anyway. So whether he's listening right now or not, he got all that. He got the offer for the debate. He got all that. But since we're on the subject, just I have a lot of other things to do today. But quickly, I do want to go back to this. Let me say something more on the subject of hell to anybody listening who shares Fred's fearful obsession with the subject. First of all, I understand that you feel that way. I don't blame you for feeling that way. Okay? On a first glance, certainly the idea of somebody spending eternity separated from God or from anything good does indeed sound like the judgment of a vindictive deity. At the same time, I have found a response that invites skeptics to look beneath their own surface reactions. Now, observe the following sample dialogue. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but I have actually had this conversation. In fact, I've had it many, many times, but let me just paraphrase it. It's just two people talking. I simply cannot and will not believe in a God who would send people to hell. Well, what about heaven? How's that? Heaven. Can you believe in a God who would send people to heaven? Well, yeah, of course. And who will God allow into heaven? Everybody. Everybody? Everybody is going to heaven. Racists are going to heaven. Murderers are going to heaven. What about rapists? Will Adolf Hitler be in heaven? It sure doesn't sound like much of a heaven. Isn't heaven a place free from people who would harm us? Well, yeah, okay, I guess not everybody will be in heaven. All right, then where do the other people go? Doesn't God seem more just and therefore more loving to not allow human beings to get away with evil without some kind of accountability? I suppose. And then what about the fact that all of us in our hearts have harbored evil thoughts, thoughts of unprovoked anger, bitterness, selfishness? When all is said and done, a loving God will either find a way to forgive us for the fact that we have all sinned and deliver us from this sin, or banish forever from his presence those uninterested in taking responsibility for the evil side of our natures. Make no mistake, a loving God places people in both heaven and hell. The message of Jesus is that we can be forgiven of our sin if we allow God's Spirit to come into our lives and change us. It has nothing to do with earning perfection. It has everything to do with mercy, forgiveness, grace, and a second chance. Switching gears now, we are still in the midst of historical time. Soon the next page of history will turn. One of two things is about to happen in this country. Either we will remain a republic, or we'll allow our entire country to surrender its freedoms, all because of a virus with a 99% recovery rate. That and other news commentary when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. And now, it's time for another episode of Headlines from 10 Years into the Future with your old pal, Bob. The year is 2030. District judge rules that all pre-pandemic movies and television shows have to be digitally remastered with CGI-generated masks on every actor. Details: the ruling was issued purely for safety reasons in order to avoid any false narratives which would set progressive thought backwards through the subliminal visuals of entertainment. Even old classics such as The Wizard of Oz were ordered redone. Toto, too. Special exceptions were made for Batman, Robin, Phantom of the Opera, Zorro, The Lone Ranger, Darth Vader, Jimmy Stewart as the clown in Greatest Show on Earth, all actors who played bank robbers, any skin diving movie, at least the parts while they were underwater, and all scenes from Mississippi Burning when the Klan were in full dress. You've been listening to Headlines from 10 Years into the Future with your old pal, Bob. Speaking of TV and movies from long ago, remember Close Encounters of the Third Kind? When the government, in order to cover up UFOs, invented the story that anthrax had spread in Wyoming, we see Richard Dreyfuss arrested with a truckload of people all wearing gas masks. He finally takes his mask off and shouts, "There's nothing wrong with the air." Okay, that was science fiction, and this particular science fiction actually had a happy ending. In this case, the government created hysteria, had a noble intention to hide something positive: aliens attempting to land and communicate. Well, positive if you like aliens, I guess, or at least hope aliens exist. Our real situation today reminds me much more of those depressing science fictions, the ones apocalyptic in nature. We still have hope. Let me say that again. We still have hope. But here's what we have to do. We must wake up. By the way, don't misquote me. I am not saying that some masks aren't needed in some places, but everywhere, even while people are driving by themselves in their own car, even while outside taking a walk, and I know state to state it's different, we need to wake up, folks. Can you just imagine what future generations and historians will say about us? While their words are illustrated with pictures showing lines and lines of people all wearing masks for a virus with a 99% recovery rate, as the doctors are now starting to say, wake up. There's nothing wrong with the air, but there's sure something wrong with the Kool-Aid. My friends, if they can make you wear a mask anywhere in the country outside your house, what makes you think they won't someday knock on your door and make sure you wear a mask inside your house? Last week, I read you that chilling quote from the WHO organization talking about wanting to come into your house. Just watch. Soon they'll add gloves. We're not far off. Did you hear this latest one from Wisconsin? And it's only for the sake of time that we're not playing it, but I hope you look this up and watch it. A child can't play at her friend's house because of social distancing. The mother of the child was warned by police knocking at her door. I watched this thing in disbelief. They were speaking to her like she'd committed grand larceny. Are we still living in the United States of America? Is this still a republic? I am remembering a time when policemen were out looking for criminals. Do you remember those? The good old days. Now, in this same state of Washington, there's a lawsuit to release certain inmates out of a need to, you guessed it, socially distance. And in many other states and cities, convicts have already been released. And for the very same reason, this police officer is hassling the mother. Once again, social distancing, social distancing. Gotta love it. With just two words, two new politically correct words, falsely defined as the temporary replacement for a vaccine, they have pacified an entire nation. Criminals roaming the streets of our country after being released by the courts, that doesn't concern them. A mother allows her daughter to play next door with a friend. That concerns them. Meanwhile, in case you've forgotten that this is an election year, Al Gore endorsed Joe Biden. He said the choice was a no-brainer. A no-brainer. Wow, never thought the day would come when I'd agree with Al Gore. That's right, it's time once again for our Joe Biden update. Of course, Hillary is also endorsing Biden, like a vulture endorses a walking, talking human pre-carcass. She probably figures she still has a chance to either replace him at the convention or become the VP nominee and replace him after the convention. Meanwhile, big elephant in the room where Uncle Joe is concerned. Early in April, a story broke that didn't get much press from mainstream media. Some of them buried it and refused to mention it. Others did mention it, but just slightly. The story is now gaining more traction. Here is one of the original reports from The Hill. A woman named Tara Reid, who worked for then-Senator Biden in the 1990s, claims he sexually assaulted her in 1993. There were no witnesses, she says, and so she didn't go public with the accusation, an accusation Biden denies. Okay, that was back in April. Now, since then, as you know, other witnesses have come forward, and like I said, the story is finally becoming something that can no longer be ignored, even by the mainstream media. Let me say this as carefully as I can, ladies and gentlemen. I am no fan of Joe Biden. That's obvious to those of you who follow my radio show or my column. I won't belabor the point right now. Nevertheless, I will extend to Joe Biden some grace, the kind of grace Democrats and mainstream media are not in the habit of offering GOP politicians. I will be consistent enough to still insist that a man is innocent until proven guilty. Now, as it happens, Biden, on other matters in the past, has a whole truckload of stuff. He's been caught in multiple lies, plagiarism too. I still say that as far as this is concerned, he's innocent until proven guilty. The fact that he lied about some things doesn't mean he lies about everything. You may think that makes it more likely, but I cannot possibly know. I wasn't there. He may not have done Yes. Now then, why am I even wasting time talking about an event alleged to have happened back in the year 1993? Well, my friends, the answer goes back once again to consistency. Another flashback, autumn of 2017, during the time of the Brett Kavanaugh Senate investigations, one Democrat senator after another came forth not merely to insist that Kavanaugh be investigated, not merely to insist that his accuser, Christine Blasey Ford, be heard out, but that she be automatically believed. Why? Because a woman who comes forward with a sexual assault accusation will never lie. Never lie. Ever. Period. End of story. Now, there are all kinds of clips from back then that I could play for you. I selected just one, and the one I selected is the most nauseating, from Senator Mazie Hirono of Hawaii.
Not only do women like Dr. Ford, who bravely comes forward, need to be heard, but they need to be believed.
Okay, let's put aside for a moment the very chilling feeling that you ought to be getting right now while listening to an elected U.S. senator ignore the idea of due process. And let us also suspend belief and pretend we don't doubt Hirono's sincerity when she uttered that drivel. All right, Senator Hirono, will you now renounce Joe Biden? Not only as a candidate for president, but as a decent human being. After all, Tara Reid is a woman. She not only needs to be heard, she needs to be believed. How about it, Senator? Shall we expect either a denunciation of Biden or an apology to Kavanaugh? Or how about curtain number three? Will you admit that in either case, you have absolutely no way of being sure, especially since you made that Kavanaugh comment before the Senate proceedings had even begun? Before you heard one real word of the case being made on either side? Never mind bothering to answer. Nobody is holding their breath. Back to Joe Biden. Joe Biden, in talking about his future presidency, says we need economic intercourse. That's a direct quote. Joe Biden says we need economic intercourse. Joe, how shall I put this? I will try to be delicate. Once again, I still believe a man is innocent until proven guilty. That said, with all the allegations coming out about your background, you may want to choose your words just a tad bit more carefully. When you talk about economic intercourse, I can't help but wonder just exactly what kind of business transaction you're remembering. I also wonder who might have taught you the phrase. Was it bubbles or peaches? Speaking of thoughtless, reckless, irresponsible politicians, I don't know if anybody could compete with Mayor de Blasio, and he's at it again, the mayor from New York, this time sending police officers to close down an Orthodox funeral held outdoors for their rabbi who had passed away due to the coronavirus. And why were they threatened with arrest? Violations of social distancing, shelter in place. So let me see if I'm understanding this correctly, de Blasio, because you're such a fine, fine mayor. Orthodox Jews at a funeral are threatened with arrest in the name of social distancing in your city, the same city where the Statue of Liberty is talking about our liberty and holds her hand in the air. Boy, if they put a mustache on her, it would look like somebody giving the signal and giving a Sieg Heil, in your city at least. But, and in the same city, criminals are released from jail in the name of social distancing. It wasn't enough that the Jewish community was already experiencing seething pain that comes from losing a beloved leader, but their right to freedom of religion and their right to freedom of assembly had to also be violated. And those rights, by the way, still exist despite narcissistic despots attempting to deny them. And then again, maybe you haven't read the Constitution, de Blasio. A printed copy of it probably never appeared in Pravda. And now, allow me to quote something else that you are probably unfamiliar with, Mayor. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Those are the words of Isaiah the prophet, chapter 5, verse 10. Not that de Blasio is alone. His East Coast rat out your neighbor policy is matched by a West Coast snitch on your friend policy. Just got a load of these fine quotes. We need to make sure that everybody continues to let us know where those folks are. If you've observed recurring violations of the Safer at Home order, please continue to let us know. We want to thank you for turning folks in and making sure we're all safe. Those are the words of Los Angeles Mayor Garcetti. Quote two, how do you report places that aren't enforcing social distancing? It's simple. Just snap a photo and text it to 311-692. Ask my mayor. Those are the words of New York City Mayor de Blasio. Quote three, so do a job for the Führer, German SS leader Adolf Eichmann. And now it's time for another episode of Finding Silver Linings in the Midst of Stupid Regulations with your old pal, Bob. Afraid that social distancing is going to be with us for a very long time? Are you bothered that churches, restaurants, theaters, and other places are going to have to space out all seats? Well, look on the bright side. From now on, anyone who boards an airplane will be flying first class. And that's today's Diamond Squeezed from the Coal of Stupidity with your old pal, Bob. Hey, just came in. The Time Capsule Award goes to the opening theme song of The Brady Bunch, with the entire family and housekeeper shown all at once on the screen in 9 separate squares. They invented Zoom ahead of its time. While we're on the subject of watching a screen, do you know what I would miss about Fauci if Trump stopped putting him in front of the camera every day? Nothing. However, I am starting to enjoy what I'm hearing from other doctors. Listen to this. The total number of reported COVID patients treated with HCO is 2,333. Of these, 2,137, or 96.6%, improved clinically. There were 63 deaths, all but 11 single respective report from the VA where the patients are severely ill. That was from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons over a week ago.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Well, Trump talks about that drug a lot, and he's no doctor. He's just, he's Trump. So that drug is dangerous.
And that quote came from this dude that just sits around and watches television. And now it's time for another lesson in politically correct science with your old pal, Bob. Politically correct disease to be more concerned about than any other health issue. COVID-19. Why? Trump caused it. Politically incorrect viral drug. The one we were just talking about, the hydroxy drug. Why is that a politically incorrect drug? Trump supports it. Are you glad you tuned in? Look at all the long lectures, studies, tests, books, and research you were able to simply skip. In only a few sweeping moments, you cut to the bone and reach 2 important conclusions. Join us next time for another lesson in politically correct science with your old pal, Bob. But if political correctness has an incarnation, it must be Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi says, "A guaranteed income is worthy of discussion." Of course, any thinking person knows this is impossible to do. It would shatter our economy and force us into hardcore socialism. We'll talk about that and why when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family?
Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 and Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda, but you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear, but they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Going through the news, Nancy Pelosi is repeating what's a real common talking point, and it actually goes back to socialism, which sounds so positive and popular, particularly with millennials, but others as well. We have Bernie Sanders, healthcare free, college free. And now Nancy Pelosi is saying guaranteed job, guaranteed wages. Well, that sounds wonderful, but that's simply something the government is incapable of doing. It's much better done in the private sector. And if it becomes government mandated, they only do it by stealing money from the private sector. Speaking of Joe Biden again, I remember in 2008 when he was debating Sarah Palin. And Sarah Palin was talking about how she didn't believe in wealth redistribution and taking hard-earned money that people make and giving it to someone else. And Joe Biden trying to talk like the natural guy, the common man, as if he hasn't been a politician his whole life. He says, well, back in Scranton, we used to call that fairness. Now, I wished I'd been in the debate. I don't mean to be a Monday morning quarterback. I actually thought Sarah Palin did a wonderful job. She gets a lot of bad press, but nevertheless, I would have loved to have been there when Joe said, back in Scranton, we used to call that fairness. I would have said, yeah, Joe. Well, back where I grew up, we used to call that stealing. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. This idea that we're going to guarantee a job to everybody, that's only by lessening the jobs of others. I think we should work toward that, but you do that by leaving people alone, leaving the private sector alone. As I said before the break, it would shatter our economy. It would force us into hardcore socialism. And if you want to look at socialism, look what happened in Venezuela. Everybody always looks at Sweden. Sweden laughs when people say, well, look at them as an example. They have a lot of capitalism blended with their socialism. They still have too much socialism for my comfort. We already have too much socialism already in America. But look, if you want to see pure socialism, you're going to see the destruction and havoc of a nation. And even after that, there will still be no guaranteed income. And by the way, they don't necessarily mean a guaranteed job. They're talking also about, and mostly some of them, about the government just paying you, just guaranteed payments. That has to come from somewhere, folks. It doesn't grow on a tree. Now, she knows this. She knows this. She's not stupid. She knows. She doesn't care. Your tax dollars are already guaranteeing her income. It's merely more bumpkin for the masses to keep her in power. But she says it's worthy of discussion. Well, here's something else that I think is worthy of discussion. Voting every single Democrat out of office come November in order to get rid of this lying, patronizing, miserable excuse for a Speaker of the House. She serves herself ice cream better than she has ever served the people. Before we leave the topic of simplistic talking points, it's time for another episode of Let's Move Beyond Two-Dimensional Thinking with your old pal, Bob. Today's handy-dandy tip from Walla Walla, Washington. One can accept that the coronavirus pandemic is real, not a hoax,
but still conclude that certain politicians are exploiting the danger and exaggerating the danger. It does not have to be a polar opposite either or conclusion. That's P-brain, two-dimensional thinking. That was today's handy-dandy tip from Walla Walla, Washington. Time again for more fun quotes. I assure you that who gives the best advice? Those are the words of the WHO Director General. Next one. The dark side of the force gets a bad rap. Those are the words of Darth Vader. And since we're on a roll, here's another crash course on politics. Some free advice to the Trump administration. How Trump can get support for reopening the economy. Speak against reopening the economy. How Trump can get support for border control. Come out against border control. How Trump can get Nancy Pelosi kicked out of office. Talk about the great job she's doing and what a good friend she is. How Trump can stop Biden support. Proclaim his own Biden support. You remember the good old days when they blamed Trump for everything, as opposed to today where they blame Trump for everything else? Yeah, we've come a long way, baby. First, they complain that he doesn't hold enough press conferences. Then he holds them every day in conjunction with task force briefings, taking question after question from a room of circling sharks. His approval ratings on how he is handling the current crisis skyrocket at that time because people stranded at home in front of their televisions, desperate for updates, hear the president, maybe for the first time in their lives, in his own words. Instead of having the media filter everything for them with their insightful editorials disguised as hard news, a disguise as obvious as one of those old plastic Groucho Marx mustache nose and glasses. Americans also witnessed firsthand the swinish behavior from most of the Washington press corps. Well, the mainstream media wasn't going to stand for that, so many of them complain now that the briefings were too frequent, too long, and should not be carried in their entirety since the president was lying constantly. Quick sidebar. The definition of lying, according to the official modernized Webster's Dictionary Special 2020 Mainstream Media Edition, their definition of lying, the president allowing any of his words to go forth in context, denying the media a chance to interpret everything for their gullible listeners by explaining what President Trump truly said, by explaining what hidden codes and messages were embedded in his speech, or isolating a sentence or two entirely out of context. Next, many news outlets stopped airing the briefings. Trump continues them and continues making the high majority of the White House press corps look like the ignorant, arrogant, blithering idiots that they are. Granted, they involuntarily offered a lot of assistance in this not-so-difficult task. And then finally, we had that day when Trump decided not to take any questions at all following a shorter briefing. What do? Now they complain that he didn't allow questions, that his press conference was far too brief.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here is another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
you have probably discovered by now that nothing, absolutely nothing President Trump does or refuses to do will ever be acceptable unless he just dies. And even then, they will complain that they weren't given 2 weeks' notice. You just gotta love the White House press corps. Mr. President, if you follow the comments that I subtly slip into this supposed question, you will hear me making it clear in the midst of this question what the right and decent answer obviously must be. But of course, you're too evil, callous, and hard-hearted to agree. Fortunately, my insightful moral high ground questions are not lost on the television audience and are especially admired by my peers. A Pulitzer Prize in the wind? Well, anyway, Mr. President, that was my question. Joe Biden also likes to weigh in on Trump. Now, this has got to be my favorite Joe Biden comment. It's my favorite that he ever made, and he's done some whoppers. Biden says Trump is weak on China. That is like Fredo Corleone suggesting that his brother Michael is weak at protecting the family business. Biden also predicts that Trump will try to find a way to delay the election. Hey, good prediction, Joe. You know, Joe, the delay that we all noticed was Obama's long delay in endorsing you. Now, to be fair, the former president had a responsibility to wait as long as possible to see if first a better candidate might enter the race. This proved to be a challenge. The Three Stooges have long since passed away. So have Abbott and Costello. Ditto for Laurel and Hardy. Meanwhile, Bart Simpson and Donald Duck, when asked if they would consider running, declined to comment. And Lex Luthor's sidekick Otis categorically denied any future White House bid, although he did have trouble both spelling and defining the word categorically. So let's review. Let's see if we're understanding all these new and marvelous rules. The government can command quarantine, command mask wearing, command 6 feet apart social distancing, shut down social and church gatherings that have too many people, shut down businesses that have too many people, shut down gatherings and businesses even if they don't have too many people, shut down parks and beaches, all in the name of protecting us and keeping us healthy. And on top of all this, other fun ideas are in the works, ideas such as designing drones to roam the sky and read our body temperature to see if we might be needing a special isolation and or to see if we are violating whatever shelter-in-place mandate might be infect that particular city, that particular state. Another one, placing a track on our cell phones to see if we're traveling to any place other than an essential service. Again, only to protect our health. And looking ahead even more, many are proposing that our government works toward universal health care, which will, among other new requirements, tell us what we can and cannot eat, drink, or smoke. The reason being that if the government is going to pay for our health care, a health care that will be obviously rationed, well, then they have a right to, by definition, insist that we keep as healthy as possible, thus utilizing doctors less. Does that about sum it all up? Everything is about health. Uncle Sam is merely looking out for the health and welfare of our fragile bodies. His relatives, Cousin Gavin and Aunt Nancy, are merely doing the same. Well then, if I may be permitted to ask just one question. Whatever happened to the liberal talking point that what a person does with his own body is his own choice? Now, did that sound not quite right because of the male pronouns? Fine, fair enough. For argument's sake, let's remove every single male in our country from the equation. Every regulation I just mentioned, the high majority already in operation, and the newer ideas being considered for the future, every single one of them affects women. Forget the men, it affects women. Please help me out, my liberal friends. I thought a woman had a right to do what she wanted with her own body. Her body, her choice. What right does the government have to regulate our bodies? Does that only apply to abortion? Is the taking of another human life the only right to your body that you have left? Just asking questions. While questions are still allowed by the government, pending a need to also protect us from emotionally driven words that are offensive. And now it's trivia time with your old pal, Bob. What does the number 173,910 have in common with the lost city of Atlantis? Time's up. What's that answer, Guy Bardo? Answer 173,910 is the number of COVID-19 recoveries in the United States as of this morning, May 3rd, 2020. Not cases, not deaths, but recoveries as of this morning. And since it's now evening, you can bet that number's gone way up. And finding that number on most television news outlets next to the number of new cases and new deaths is about as easy as discovering the lost city of Atlantis. Also in the news, I just love this one. A Harvard professor, as you know, since so many students are not in school, a lot of parents are discovering homeschooling. A lot of them didn't believe in it, but it's going on. So a Harvard professor is kind of freaked out about this. She wants government to ban the quote-unquote authoritarian practice of homeschooling. Great. Just great. More PC mumbo jumbo to translate. Here's the translation. We must ban the authoritarian education from parents in order to assure all children receive our own authoritarian education indoctrination. Now, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, my own daughter and son went to the public schools. With the exception of 1 year, we did not homeschool them. Things have changed a lot since then, obviously. But even in the present and the very recent past, my daughter is an amazing high school teacher and administrator. My wife was both a public school teacher and principal for many years until her very recent retirement. She was first rate in both roles. And I know many other wonderful teachers. I do, sadly, agree that many of today's public schools are embedded with extremely liberal agendas, agendas seldom, if ever, owned up to. Be that as it may, I am not one to make the kinds of sweeping statements that this smug, arrogant, patronizing professor is spewing forth. Neither do I feel an obligation to fall out of my chair and soak in her wisdom simply because of a badge that reads Harvard. Again, I know many good public school teachers, and while some of them may spar with me and may spar with their friends about the pros and cons of homeschooling, none of them believe that children should be raised by the state. All of them agree that there is an authority structure in the home. It's called child rearing. Yes, I did say raised by the state. Now, that need not be defined as children being removed from the home, although that's happened in many countries. But it does mean proper, quote-unquote, instruction offered under the guise of tolerance. Tolerance, that nice-sounding word hijacked by leftist secularists who in reality are teaching intolerance toward Judeo-Christian values or any opinion at all which doesn't pass their litmus tests. Elitists think they know better than the average rabble. They assume we're too stupid to make our own decisions. They impose their good intentions, much like autocorrect, helping out when we didn't ask for their help, offering the kind of help that is not particularly helpful. Does the notion of parents losing control over the education of their children sound familiar? Where, oh, where have we heard this before? Was it the Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, or something behind the curtain where Carol Merrill is standing? Nevertheless, detestable as this professor may be, I am not calling for her firing. I happen to embrace freedom of speech protected in the First Amendment, which, alas, even protects idiocy shrouded in self-righteous narcissism.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.